Blog Talk Radio.
The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Welcome to What's New with BHUs. I am your host, Vena Tenderson Hughes. I am sitting here with two of my co-hosts. What do you know about that? Mr. Christopher Hughes, welcome back.
Thank you.
And Regina Henderson Hughes.
Hello.
So, guys, today we are talking about sexual health double standards. Ooh, that's heavy. And that's a big topic out going on right now in just about every sound bite that is going on out there. And I feel like before we start, let's get some definitions out the way, shall we? So the World Health Organization says sex refers to the biological characteristics that define humans as female or male. While these sets of biological characteristics are not mutually exclusive, there are individuals who possess both and tend to differentiate humans as male and female. Sexual health, on the other hand, is a state of physical, emotional, mental, and social well-being in relation to sexuality. It is not merely the absence of disease, dysfunction, or infirmity. Sexual health requires a positive and respectful approach to sexuality, sexual relationships, as well as the possibility of having pleasurable and safe sexual experiences, free of discrimination, and violence. For sexual health to be attained and maintained, the sexual rights of all persons must be respected, protected, and fulfilled. Sexuality is defined as a central aspect of being human throughout the life, encompassing sex, gender, identities and roles, sexual orientation, eroticism, pleasure, intimacy, and reproduction. Sexuality is experienced and expressed in thoughts, fantasies, desires, beliefs, attitudes, values, behaviors, practices, roles, and relationships. While sexuality can include all of these dimensions, not all of them are always experienced or expressed. Sexuality is influenced by the interaction of biological and psychological, socio-economical, political, culture, legal, historical, religious, and spiritual factors. And lastly, sexual rights. The fulfillment of sexual health is tied to the extent to which human rights are respected, protected, and fulfilled. Sexual rights embrace certain human rights that are already recognized in international and regional human rights documents and other consensus documents in national law. The rights critical to realization of sexual health include rights critical to the realization of sexual health, the rights of equality and non-discrimination, the right to be free from torture or cruel, inhumane, or degrading treatment or punishment, the right to privacy, the rights to the highest attainable standard of health, including sexual health and social security, the right to marry and to be found and to found a family and to enter into marriage with the free and full consent of the attending spouses and to equally dissolve the marriage if need be. The right to decide the number and spacing of one's children. The right to information as well as education. The rights to freedom and opinion of expression, and the right to effectively remedy violations of fundamental rights. So those are our definitions. And so now that we have all those definitions, let's get to discussing. So we said sexual health double standards, and we all know, if you're not aware, there are some serious double standards. Would you say, Chris?
Yeah, I do. Especially in our political market, celebrity market, with Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey coming out, political, through Roy Moore's, the allegations of all these women. Here, this is at the time 32-year-old man chased after these teenage girls, particularly going after them in malls. And just recently, Senator Al Franken, who most know from SNL or Saturday Night Live, in that infamous picture where he's groping a young lady who's sleeping on the plane from a benefit show they did in 2006. All these are horrible situations of sexual deviancy to me that just shows the lack of a better word sickness that we have in our country of individuals who are in particular power base or particular status, particular celebrity status, that feel that it's all right to abuse their status for what we see mostly are women who's come out to say that, hey, this happened, this is not cool.
And looking at what seems to be a boom, and I say seems to be because these things have been going on for years, and now it's like the dam has broken. To basically come up with a great analogy to it. In looking at this, and like I said, every day there is a new soundbite regarding someone new. And as we continue to see these soundbites, and a lot of them are really old, you know, and we also have the other side of it with Terry Crews as far as him being sexually harassed. And so it's not just women who are being harassed. There are men out there, too, and there are more men coming out as well. In looking at that, there's still this double standard.
True. Terry Crews, as well as other men, being approached by women of power, as well as sometimes men in power, in Terry Crews' case, is still prevalent that, you know, the behavior still goes on. And again, going back to, well, your 1950s, 60s, I think, was the start of the whole idea of the casting couch.
Ah, the casting couch. Join us for this conversation. Guess if you want to join this conversation, give us a call at area code 516-453-9934. Now, going back to the casting couch, I don't know when the casting couch sort of disappeared in Hollywood. I don't follow Hollywood that closely, yeah, that much. However, I of course know about the casting couch. I've heard about the casting couch as if anybody else has as well. But it was always seemed to be an accepted thing for, I guess, those who were ambitious. I'm gonna put that with quotes around it enough to want to further their career, they had to do this casting couch. And Regina, for your education, the casting couch is basically if a actress wanted to move further up. I think it was more so, but okay, fair enough. An actor or an actress wanted to move further up in their career,
they had to do a favor.
They had to do a favor, and that would be a sexual favor. I don't know how far the favors went, but in order for them to get maybe top billing or the lead role or whatever the case may be, they had to do this casting couch. And the casting couch, of course, is a colloquialism. They may not have sort of slept in the office per se, but there was some kind of sexual favor that was done between them. I think the casting couch itself has been transformed into other things in this day and age. And I think a lot of what's going on now has to do more so with the act of social media. I think social media has a big part of why the dam finally broke, because now, you know, celebrities have their own social media accounts, and contrary to what most believe, a lot of them actually do their own Facebook and email and Twitter and things like that. So a lot of them don't have assistance to for whatever reason, whether it's just wanting to be real to their people or whatever. A lot of those tweets do come from the actual celebrities and things like that, and, of course, people in power, and I'm going to leave that right there. But speaking of people in power, as we know, we have had former presidents come out and apologize to the women that they have groped or touched inappropriately in the past. And, of course, we know that our current president is on a recording speaking about his past behaviors, and yet has come out to speak about Senator Al Franken.
Which I think on that is hypocritical on his part, because cannot engage in that particular type of activity by grabbing him in the vagina. You know, I think most of you, the listeners know his direct quote from that. And then turn around years later, another senator is again Al Franken shown in a picture following a young lady who was sleeping on the plane, and our president, you know, in you know, normal Trump fashion, calls himself taking Al Franken to task. Well, let's pump your brakes, sir. You know, you mentioned about some of your indiscretions with KBB, and some people, I presume mostly liberals, have taken you to task on that, but really nothing's been done to move the needle in that direction of your indiscretions. Who are you to say anything about anybody else's indiscretion for what the heck you've done? That's the pot calling the kettle black for sure.
True, true. But, I mean, even before President Trump got into office, his behaviors were out there. But then we think back to President Clinton, who was, in all intents and purposes, impeached because of his indiscretions in his marriage, not because of what he did to the country per se, but his indiscretions in his marriage caused him to be impeached, or the articles of impeachment came up against him. Now, finding out that George Bush Sr. also participated in some inappropriate behavior has been one of those, wow, you know. And I'm not saying wow like I'm shocked. It's just the fact that all of these sort of skeletons are falling out of the closet, and, you know, the go-to seems to be across all the boards, with exception to a few, is to apologize and let's move past it.
And that's fine. The young lady, guess for Senator Franken situation, I believe it was two messages sent. The first one really didn't sit well with most people, so there was a more lengthy apology from Senator Franken, which at the end of everything, the LA said that she forgave him. And I think her thing is, what the thing is, to move on. But you still have those pundits on the fact that, well, no, he did her wrong. He should be taking a task for that. Okay, maybe understand something. This was done in 2006. And I've been seeing a lot of sound bites on YouTube and other media sites on the fact that if the accuser is willing to forgive and forget and move on, how can we really put any more steam in anything for the situation ourselves? Outside, I guess, any personal vindication of the fact that he needs to pay, get out of office, or whatever the situation is that some people feel that he should suffer by. Again, if that's the case for Al Franken, then maybe it should be the case for Donald Trump and Harvey Weinstein and some others that have been outed by accusers for sexual wrongdoing or sexual misconduct because of political issues or whatever, or their status in power. They should be taking the task as well. And I don't hear that as much on the right-hand side of things than I do on the left.
So, in Senator Al Franken's case, he became a senator in 2009. So when that particular incident happened, and he said it was in 2006.
He was not in office. Right, he was not a political figure. He was still a comedian slash actor, you know, in the...
So you have basically his sins of the past coming back to get him, basically.
Well, same thing with the president. He wasn't a private citizen back then.
A lot of those things, the private citizen, he was running for office at that time. But looking at all of that, and I, when I say apologize and move on with it, I'm not saying that's what should be done. I'm saying that's the notion that comes from those that are accused, meaning if I say I'm sorry, we're done, we're good, we're cool, not looking at the fact that whatever toll this has taken on the person who was assaulted.
Well, look at Angie, I believe it's Angie Everhart. One of the accusers to Harvey Weinstein's shenanigans made a appearance on TMZ stating that she was on a cruise with friends where Harvey Weinstein was on the ship. She mentioned that Harvey Weinstein, when she was in the lower deck area or whatever, came down on with their robe opened up, decided to pleasure himself in front of her. And it appalled her so bad she ran upstairs to the deck telling as many people she could tell. And their reaction was, oh, that's just Harvey. And that took me aback on the fact that as much as it should be an appalling and wrong turn of events to take, I presume because of Harvey's position, some people just feel that, oh, well, that's just the way it is. That's the way things are done. I don't agree with that. You have to be accountable for your action because the person that you're saying, that's just that person and that's how they act or whatever it can be, well, if that was your daughter or sister or son.
Good point. Join us for the conversation. Area code 516-453-9934. And with that point, I recently read something about Gabby Douglas and her teammate has accused a former doctor of the team of sexually abusing her. And I honestly believe, I don't believe Gabby meant to come off crass as she did. I do understand partially where she came from, but I think it's more so that case of people reading their stuff before they're posted, one. And I think the other part is your mind is actually working faster than your hands are, or your hands, or vice versa. But in it, the young lady had expressed that she had been abused, and Gabby mentioned the fact, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not exactly reading it, that, you know, as women, we are to sort of dress classy. And carry us right and conservatively, and carry ourselves in such a way. And of course, that was perceived as a dig at the friend or teammate, if you will. Now, one of the things that I know is that there has always been this double standard with men and women with regard to sexuality. But the way of their sexual beliefs, of their sexual behavior. And when it comes to women, it is always this thought that a woman who expresses what she wants to do sexually is sort of looked at in whatever category you want to fit her in, but she is not considered to be a lady, or at least not a lady that you would take home to mom.
Agree. I this has always been a taboo.
Mm-hmm.
That a woman, especially if she...
That's what some of those songs they say.
Yes.
Some of them.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite songs is Freak Like Me, and my husband cannot stand that song. But one of the things that I appreciated about that song is she actually said what she wanted, you know, and she was okay with it. And, yeah, it had a great beat behind it, but the fact of the matter is the woman basically expressed her thoughts, her feelings about her body. Now, I'm not quite sure. I don't remember if that song won any Grammys or anything of the sort. But the fact of the matter is, this woman who made this song had embraced her sexuality, period.
And was very unapologetic for it. And that's not what I have a problem with to talk about. My problem was with songs like that, hooked up by a Nicki Minaj, hooked up by a Lil' Kim, or some of these other artists.
But that's in a rap genre. I'm not a rap.
Well, I'm just saying it's still in the same veil of sexual empowerment, sexual identity.
That stuff is very
embracing,
raunchy.
Embracing their sexuality, which, again, I have no problem with Dina Howard or whoever doing that. My situation was, at the time this song came out, I'm listening to this on the fact that I don't even know your business. And that put me on my fact that what you do behind closed door, whoever you talk to, man or woman, can it be as far as how you feel sexually or how you what you want to do, da da da, no part to you. I don't have to hear you sing it. I don't have to hear you rap about it. So whenever I hear that song, I turn it off because I don't have to hear her do that. Now, as far as the apartment aspect of it, for women that hear this song, or men that like, okay, can dig that she does that Kevin B and understand where she's coming from, you go to your dating genre or a dating situation with Kevin B, and a woman, you know, tells the guy straight up, look, we don't need to have dinner, KB. I just want to be with you, okay, KB. Hope you be with me. No commitments, okay, KB. As some men would do with women, whatever. I'm all down with that. That's cool. That should be an honest presentation of what is wanted or what is expected. And then both understand and they do their thing and then they go about their separate business. That's fine. It's not always the case that that happens like that, though, as the end result of their sexual coupling. Is always something expected after the fact from the woman or man when the woman or the man who initiated, you know, asking them for sexual, you know, being intimate with them and sharing themselves with Kevin B said straight up, I just want to be with you sexually. That's it. I don't want to be boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't want to be marry you.
No strings.
Okay, I can respect that. Whoever cannot will say more, I presume, will more likely say no and go about their business with somebody who will be more willing to have a relationship with or be in the relationship more longer than what is initiated from the man or woman in the conversation.
I can ring my bell.
Well, that's one of the double.
You know, ring my bell. You know, that's a old school song. And you know, as a matter of fact, my mom had that album, and not knowing until, of course, I got grown, actually, to hear it and to hear the way the song was, you know, guys, if you go back and listen to some old school music, it'll blow your mind.
Oh, it was,
there are some that are...
Lay My Love Come Down,
yeah.
Okay, you yeah. know, you're right, there are
some old school songs that'll blow your mind, but there are some actual old school songs that are flat out, like, I Want to Do It to You Real Good. You remember that one? I want to... That one was...
Shoot,
and that was by
a
man.
Al Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Well,
they
knew
somewhere
fixed up.
I don't know what the name of it.
What, Blurred Lines?
Is that it?
He got a few of them that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going back to the the double standard, so like I said, we talked about Adina Howard, but there are so many men who have made raunchy songs as well.
True.
But when I'm looking at basically the whole empowerment of women, so that woman, the average woman, whoever she may be out here in the world, who has decided to just date, and I'm using a new terminology of dating where it's just sex, okay?
Blanche Devereaux.
Okay. Yeah. Blanche Devereaux from The Girls and Girls. That person is always looked at as loop or whatever may case may be, but the man, whoever that man may be, he's looked at as a player. He's looked at as, you know, oh man, you know, you're hooking them, you're sleeping with them, you're sending them on their way. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. He's more so. He's as a man is predisposed to be a conqueror, someone who that's their nature to do that. But I think that does us a disservice to us as men, basically putting us in a position as savages, only looking to score with the women that we go after. You know, in my dating days with KB, and I can't really compare to what they do now, My thing was to get to know the young lady first.
Well, that's called courting, Chris.
And they don't court anymore. That's what I'm about to say. That aspect of dating has been lost. It's more so about the hit it and quit it mentality than anything else. And whereas men were more so placated to just doing that, no, women also have that mindset as well. And again, if that's the understanding between the man and woman or whatever the partners are that are getting together and they do what they got to do and go about their business, I have no problem with that. But in our society is, like you were mentioning, women that do that are labeled negatively instead of just women who are embracing their sexuality and exploring their sexuality and exploring their body, as opposed to men who, even though they might be referred to as man whores or jerks or KBB, is not as much of a stigma on them negatively as it is on women.
But you know what, and that's the funny part, because the times have changed. We know so much, we have so much access to a lot of things. And yet there is still this old fashionedness about the way a woman is supposed to carry herself in some circles, not in all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that's sort of like, okay, well, a man can do all of these things, and if a woman tries it, she's out of pocket, she's out of line, and she should never cross that road. I do recall when there was a situation where there were women who were sexually harassing men when they got into power roles, as far as being the president of a company, and they have the secretary, and the secretary has to do whatever, what have you. That seemed to have died down, or whatever, or at least social media hasn't caught up to it as of yet. But when you look at those aggressive women, sort of like Jennifer Aniston and How Horrible Bosses, when you look at those aggressive women as opposed to the men who do it,
mm-hmm.
it seems like that woman's career will be shattered, period. Mm-hmm. There's no comeback for that. For the man, he may have that downtime.
Right.
And he's back up.
Right, you're
and it's like, I think a lot of times for the woman, she is punished because she got out of her place, if you will. The proverbial place that we as women are supposed to be, she had the audacity to cross that line. Once she crossed that line, her life is shattered.
Well, I think there is a stay in your zone moment, mostly for women, especially placated by other women, that you don't do stuff like that. That's a bad form that you do to be that outspoken, to be that sexual, to be that much more not
free,
unapologetic. And
there are some women who do that, but there are some men that hold women accountable for that as well, and I think a lot of those men who are holding those women in those accountability slots are the ones that are upset because they may not have had the ability or the time or have not been selected by said woman, and so they're angry, and so the best thing to do is to tear.
But unfortunately, women do that to other women as well.
Women can be catty, but so can men.
True. The fact that, again, the whole the way you dress thing or whatever, a woman who just naturally curvy but has a nice dress on, whatever.
Well, that goes back to the lady on the news. And the teacher. There was a teacher.
The teacher,
news reporter.
Right.
Regardless of the fact, we all have mirrors. And all of this double standard speak before we go, the main thing is that when you're out there, whether you're free or not, just make sure you're practicing safe sex. Make sure that you respect your partner enough. Make sure that your partner is a willing partner and not a partner that you just snatched up. And make sure that at the end of everything that you two have the ability to not only respect each other, but to respect yourselves after everything that has happened. I'm sure that we'll have more interesting discussions with regard to double standards, not just in sexual health, but just period as well. I thank you guys for joining me today in the studio. And I look forward to next Saturday at 4 o'clock with What's New at VHU's. Have a good day. Bye.